Janimastvam yadupate harshadam samupagatam bharatreha preshita pritro bhavan priya chakirshaya. The gopi said, "We know that you are the personal servant of Krishna, the chief of the Yadus, and that you have come here on the order of your good master, who desires to give pleasure to his parents." Anyatago braje tasya smaraniyam nachakshmahe snehanubhando bandhunam muner api sadushtyaja. We see nothing else he might consider worth remembering in these cow pastures of Braja. Indeed, the bonds of affection for one's family members are difficult to break even for a sage. Anyeshwartha krita maitri yavad artha vidambanam kumbhistrishu krita yadvat sumanashu iva satpadhai. The friendship shown toward others, those who are not family members, is motivated by personal interest, and thus it is a pretense that lasts only until one's purpose is fulfilled. Such friendship is like the interest men take in women or bees in flowers. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains here that attractive women, like flowers, possess beauty, fragrance, tenderness, charm, and so on. And as bees drink only once of a flower's nectar and then leave it for another, fickle men abandon beautiful and devoted women to pursue other pleasures. This tendency is condemned here by the gopis, who gave their hearts completely to Sri Krishna. The gopis wanted only to exhibit their charms for Krishna's pleasure, and in the pain of separation, they questioned the motives of his friendship with them. These are the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. Both Lord Krishna and the gopis are completely liberated souls engaged in spiritual loving affairs. By contrast, our so-called loving affairs being perverted reflections of the perfect loving relationships in the spiritual world are polluted with lust, greed, pride, and so on. Like all liberated souls, the gopis and certainly Lord Krishna himself are eternally free of these lower qualities, and their intense loving affairs are motivated exclusively by unalloyed devotion. The friendship shown toward others, those who are not family members, is motivated by personal interest, and thus it is a pretense that lasts only until one's purpose is fulfilled. Such friendship is like the interest men take in women or bees in flowers. The gopis of Vrindavan have recognized Uddhava as the devoted servant of Lord Sri Krishna. His beautiful bodily features so much resembled those of Lord Sri Krishna. And Krishna personally for the pleasure of the Brijvasis, gave his own clothes to be worn by Uddhava on this day. After speaking with Nanda and Yashoda and witnessing the exalted quality of their pure, spontaneous devotion, the gopis, with great humility and anticipation, they have brought Uddhava to a secluded place. And in their very simple, completely unsophisticated and natural love, they are beginning to speak. They are addressing Uddhava as the personal servant of Krishna. And Krishna has sent you to give pleasure to his parents. And we see nothing that he might consider worth remembering in these cow pastures of Braja. Indeed, the bonds of affection for one's family members are difficult to break, even for a sage. And the gopis are here expressing their feeling of hopelessness in separation from the Lord. There is simultaneously various spiritual emotions that are fighting one another within a devotee's heart. On one hand, the gopis are anticipating Krishna's arrival at any moment. And it is this expectation that preserves their life. But on the other hand, they feel a sense of utter hopelessness and desperation, that we see no reason for him to even return, that why should he even consider remembering us? He's now living in Mathura, such a big royal city with so many very high-class, sophisticated ladies and so much opulence. It is a great kingdom. Why would Krishna want to return to these simple cowherd pastures? And who are we compared to them? He says, even the bonds of affection for one's family members are difficult to break, even for a sage. They are indicating how Krishna, how inconceivable is his nature, that after completely capturing the hearts of all the Brijvasis and showing the most intimate love to them, even exclaiming that your surrender and dedication to me is so great that I can never repay you. In fact, I am eternally indebted to you. So much of an exchange of love. But Krishna, he has detached himself. He has broken that bond of affection for his own friends and family members. And then they go on to explain that we are like flowers, and Krishna, like a bumblebee, has come and extracted the nectar of our love, of our devotion, and then he had simply moved on to the next flower. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his beautiful commentary, is explaining that the nectar that they are talking about is the very life force, the love, the hope, all the consciousness of the gopis Krishna has extracted. And then he has left them. But in leaving them, Uddhava is witnessing. He has appeared in their hearts in such a way that even the greatest of all yogis, sages, gurus, acharyas, mahatmas, no one has ever been so absorbed in the divine loving remembrance of Krishna, in the divine presence of Krishna, as the gopis. The nature of this love must be understood in its proper perspective. Gopis, each and every one of them, are completely liberated souls. They have already, by their example, proven total detachment from everything of this world. They had no concern for their family members, for their security of living in a nice, safe home, for all of their possessions and wealth. They were willing to risk their life, risk their reputation, risk everything to give pleasure to Krishna. Maharaj Parikshit asks Shukadeva Goswami that how is this possible for anyone? And Shukadeva Goswami explains that, you see, Krishna is the personality of Godhead. And because all of these emotions are directed toward the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it makes them all of the highest principle of morality, the highest principle of transcendental realization, knowledge, and detachment. If Krishna was not God, then all of these emotions would be degraded. But because Krishna is God, he is the supreme proprietor of everything that exists, and he is the supreme master and enjoyer of all living beings. Therefore, all of these sublime emotions of the gopis are of the most exalted, pure, and highest principles of spiritual realization, as well as morality. The gopis themselves argued to defend their position when they met him under the Bamsiva tree in Vrindavan Dham. Krishna said to the gopis, "You have families and you have wealth, and you have, it's not safe for young girls to be alone in the middle of the forest at night. You should go home. It's not proper that you are here." And the gopi said, "But you are, my lord, you are the Paramatma. You are the life force of every living being. It is only due to your presence that there's any life or attraction within our family members or anyone."
It is you that we love. In fact, whoever in this world loves anyone, they are actually loving you. But they are just not conscious of the reality. They are under the illusion that they are loving their child or their mother or their father or their lover or their friend. What do they love about that person? Only your presence in their heart. Whatever attraction anyone has is only a trace of your divine qualities that you are giving them. Whatever life they have is only the gift that is coming from you. And even the soul itself, the jivatma, which is the attractive force within anyone's body, the only reason why that jivatma has any attraction at all is because it is part and parcel of you. So therefore, no one in this world is really attracted to anything but Krishna. When we see a beautiful work of art, it is Krishna that has created the subject of the painting. It is Krishna that has created the painter. It is Krishna that has created all the paint. And it is Krishna who has created the inspiration to put it on the canvas. So what are we being attracted to? Simply Krishna. When we see a beautiful man or a beautiful woman, Krishna has created that form. Krishna has created the mind and the intelligence of that person. It is all Krishna's energy. The composition of a person's body is Krishna's energy, and the energy is not different than the energetic source. So these physical bodies are nothing but Krishna indirectly. And the soul is just a part of Krishna, reflecting the qualities of Krishna in an infinitesimal way. So what are we attracted to in this world? There's only one attracting power in this entire universe, and that is Krishna. And he is personally attracting us, either through his external energy or through his internal energy. When he attracts us through his Mahamaya potency, we do not recognize that he is the attractive force. We forget that. And under illusion, we think something else. We think that any beauty or any attraction is separate from Krishna. That is an illusion or maya. But when we take to spiritual life and become purified through the path of bhakti, then we come under the influence of yoga maya, and in that yoga maya potency, we recognize Krishna everywhere. We see that everything is in Krishna, and Krishna is in everything, that he is the source. In fact, Srila Prabhupada explained that at a certain level of consciousness, your heart will give you the perception. Wherever you see, wherever you look, you will see the beautiful form of Shyam Sundar playing upon his flute. Whatever you hear, you will hear the various notes of Krishna's flute. Your senses will become so much pervaded with loving devotion to Krishna that Krishna will reciprocate with you and he will reveal himself everywhere in his original form. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochane na santasa daiva hridayeshu vilokayanti. And sometimes he may take away that vision, but then in our heart we're seeing him everywhere, in and everything. We find here the gopis, although Krishna in one sense he left Vrindavan and cast them in the ocean of separation. But the gopis are seeing Krishna everywhere. 24 hours a day, they're witnessing Krishna. In such a love that has never been experienced before by anyone. Even the residents of Vaikuntha have no access to such love, to such ecstasy. So we find that it is a fact that all love is really just an exchange between the soul and Krishna. But when we are not conscious that it is our soul who is loving the qualities of Krishna, then we come under illusion. We think we're this body. And we think we love someone else, but we don't recognize their connection to Krishna. And that is the source of ignorance. And that is the source of all bondage and suffering in this entire creation. Forgetfulness of the truth. And this is immorality. Why is it immorality? Because to think that anything is separate from Krishna and to do anything for any purpose other than the pleasure of Krishna is immorality in the highest spiritual sense. Because it is all Krishna's. Bhaktaram jagatapasam sarva loka maheshwaram suhradam sarva bhutanam Chatvamam Shanti Mrityachati. Krishna says, I am the proprietor of everything, and everything is meant for my enjoyment. All sacrifices are meant only for me. If we do anything for our own personal sense gratification, that is, from the spiritual point of view, immoral. You are taking the property of God and trying to steal it for yourself. That is called self-centered sense gratification. But there is also extended self-sense gratification. To do things for my family, or for my caste, or for my society, or for my nation, or even for my species of life, humanity, is also considered immoral. If you do not understand its connection to Krishna, because you are taking what belongs to God and you are using it according to your whims, according to your conceptions. If I go to the home of Ananda Vrindavan and steal 1,000 rupees, and then I send it to my mother and father and brothers in America, he says, that's immoral. Why you have stolen? It's not immoral, because I used it for my family members. Would you consider that morality? If a thief comes and breaks in your house and steals all your jewelry and money and uses it to feed his family and get nice furniture for his family, would you call that morality? No, but human society is thinking we can steal for Krishna, and if we give it to our family, and if we give it to our nation, and if we give it to our society, then that's moral. But spiritually it's immoral, because it belongs to God. If we use it for our family, and we use it for our nation, and we use it for our society, in reference of the truth, that this is all God's property, and I'm using it to help these people in a service to God, according to the will of God, then it is the highest morality. So anything that is not done in relationship to Krishna is immorality. So the whole world of so-called moral people, they accuse the gopis of being immoral. They left their families, their children, their husbands, their everything for Krishna. This is immoral. But actually the whole world is immoral because they're not doing that. The gopis executed, factually, the highest, supreme, most perfect and pure morality because they were offering their lives Krishna, 100%. Everything that belonged to Krishna, they were giving to Krishna. Their heart's love was Krishna's property exclusively. They passed the test. And Krishna sent them back to their families. It's not that the gopis were irresponsible. They took care of their children. They took care of their husbands, those that were married. They did all their duties very nicely, but in perfect morality, in truth, because they realized that it is Krishna within them that we love, and therefore we love them so much. It is Krishna in our friends and relatives that is the source of our love. And when we recognize that, there's real love. And when we do not recognize that, it is a perverted, mistaken love. One love ultimately culminates in ecstasy, in eternal unity, and the other ultimately ends in death. Living beings that are connected in Krishna consciousness are eternally united. And living beings that are united according to physical misconceptions, they are separated at the time of death. We do not know if there will ever be a connection again. It is simply a question of the unknown results of karma. Vasudev, Krishna's father, explained, just like in a river, the river is constantly flowing, the river is constantly changing, and there's always new waves coming up in the river. And if two pieces of straw come into that river, the waves may bring them together, but how long will they remain together? Another wave will come and separate them. And will they ever join together again? No one knows. These are the relationships we have in this material world. But when we establish our relationships in loving devotional service to Lord Krishna, with Krishna in the center, then that relationship is founded on the basis of truth. And truth is eternal. Illusion is temporary. And anything that is based on truth is eternal. When we put Krishna in center of our family, the fact is our relationships with our family become eternal. Maybe not the physical proximity, but the spiritual relationship of two living beings connected to Krishna is eternal. With our God brothers and God sisters, when Krishna is genuinely in the center of our relationships, these relationships are eternal. Why? Because Krishna is eternal. And because every part of Krishna is eternal. And any progress we make toward loving Krishna and his devotees is eternal. So do not be bewildered by the ignorant talk of so-called mundane philosophers who mistaken the true, highest principles of truth and morality that is exhibited in the gopis of Vrindavan. Their love is pure, because they have extracted the essence of the love that everyone is experiencing in this world in a perverted way. The fact is, everyone is loving Krishna, but in ignorance. The gopis have extracted the essence of love to directly be conscious of the beautiful source of all attraction, the form of Shamsundar. And therefore, in Krishna consciousness, this is our meditation, to always remember Krishna. The more we remember Krishna, the more we will naturally become attracted to Krishna. We find in the scriptures, even demons, when they remember Krishna unfavorably, they become purified. Shishupal attained liberation because he was always remembering Krishna in the mood of hatred and envy. And similarly, Kamsa, he also attained liberation because he was constantly remembering Krishna. Hiranyakashipu also attained such an exalted destination because he couldn't forget Lord Narayan. And Narada Muni presented his feelings, how exalted they were, that they could not forget Krishna for a moment. What to speak of those who remember Krishna favorably, in a spirit of devotion, humility, and service? It is for this reason that it is explained by Lord Kapiladeva in the Srimad Bhagavatam that of all the injunctions and all the rules and regulations in all the great scriptures of the world, two are of paramount importance. The conclusion, the siddhanta of all Vedic knowledge is contained in two simple instructions, and that is to always remember Krishna and to never forget Krishna. How to always remember Krishna? That the great spiritual masters are teaching us. We cannot think that it is possible for us to imitate the gopis in their remembrance of Krishna. In fact, Srila Prabhupada said, you will not be purified, you will be putrefied if you try to do so. Because they were in the mood of such a high level of ecstatic conjugal love. As long as we still have attraction to sex pleasure of this world, to try to imitate the gopis is not only unbecoming, but it is contrary to our real spiritual progress. Therefore, we must remember Krishna in a wholesome way. Krishna is not different than his name. All the qualities and all the beauty and all the charm of Krishna that the gopis are experiencing are fully available to us through his name. And as we become purified, those sentiments of love begin to awaken within our heart. But in order to properly chant the holy name, we must be in the mood of a servant. The gopis, what was the quality of their service? The gopis are willing to go to hell for the rest of eternity to give Krishna relief from a headache, even if that relief only lasts a second. For 1 second of Krishna's pleasure, they're willing to suffer hell eternally. What a mood of service. Are any of us on that level? Of course not. But we can cultivate an attitude of service by following the instructions of the spiritual master very carefully, by serving the Lord's devotees with great care and attention, by serving the suffering humanity who are all part and parcel of Krishna, by giving them relief, by allowing them to understand the absolute truth. In this way, Krishna has given us such a wonderful method. By keeping our mind and senses in Krishna, through chanting his name, through the simple and sublime process of devotional service, by not allowing, by by restraining the mind and senses from wandering to places that are not authorized, it becomes very practical for us to be on the path of always remembering Krishna and never forgetting Krishna. We have just sung this beautiful song by Srila Narottam Das Thakur, where he is explaining, Krishna, you are the controller of everything. This whole world is working under your direction. Sometimes difficulties come into our lives. Sometimes even inconceivable predicaments come before us. Sometimes crises and problems that we could have never expected. Does a devotee lose his faith? Does a devotee become bewildered? Not at all. A devotee understands that Krishna is behind everything. And whatever Krishna does is for everyone's good. In the material sense, the laws of karma are for everyone's ultimate good. Mahatmanastu mam parata daivim prakriti mashata. But for devotees of the Lord, sincere devotees, of which all of our devotees are sincere devotees, anyone who comes to Krishna with sincere desire and connects to this immortal parampara, they are personally under Krishna's divine energy. Everything is being conducted directly by Krishna. There's no accidents. We may make mistakes, no doubt. We may make mistakes, but Krishna's right there to personally arrange for our purification. So in this way, everything is happening under Krishna's perfect loving control. And for a devotee who sees this, he is never disconnected from Krishna. He will always continue to make proper spiritual progress. So Narottam Das Thakur is explaining that, Krishna, you are the controller of everything. You are behind the scene in every situation. A devotee is more concerned with who's behind the scene than the scene itself. Sometimes it's a wonderful, beautiful scene. Sometimes it's a very apparently terrible scene. These things are always changing in this world. We must deal with the scene according to the need. But our inner contemplation is that Krishna's orchestrating. He's behind it all. And whatever he does is for everyone's good, for everyone's purification. For the devotees of the Lord, everything Krishna does is ultimately to attract them back home, back to Godhead. Perfectly. And Narottam Das Thakur says that I have seen and considered this whole world. And Krishna, there is no one but you that can save me. It is this way that we learn to always remember Krishna. And by practicing the simple principles of bhakti yoga, we could gradually learn the art of always remembering Krishna and seeing his love and his mercy at every moment, in every stage of our life. And then we can gradually progress to the higher realms of consciousness, the realm of completely spontaneous love. For such advanced devotees, they naturally see Krishna behind everything. they naturally see Krishna's loving hand everywhere. But in the beginning stages of Krishna consciousness, we must constantly be reminded of this. That is why we require to constantly have the association of devotees. We must constantly be very, very strict in the regulation of our sadhana. We must chant 16 rounds every day. We must hear the Srimad Bhagavatam on a very regular basis. This will help us to always remember Krishna. Thank you very much. Is there any questions?
The main aim of our spiritual life is to get a complete detachment from all worldly activities like our house, family members, wife, those who are materially oriented. And once we come into spiritual life, when we associate with devotees, we slowly get this conviction, I have to get a detachment from all these things, of my property, my flat, and these and that, everything. And once we attach to the renounced order people, we feel it, I am getting detachment, I am feeling it that I am detached for some level. And then it so happens that in a gross level we feel it that we are detached. And slowly Krishna used to give something, and some problem comes in our life. And that problem, because of that thing, you become so engrossed in those problems, and you understand that, no, I was thinking that I was detached, but I am not actually detached at all. These problems are unnecessarily disturbing me, my consciousness, my spiritual life is completely disturbed. That means grossly I was feeling it detached, but subtly I was much more attached. So unnecessary means, as such, the Maya has completely defeated me. So how to see or test ourselves that detachment, subtle detachment, we test ourselves if that subtle detachment is there in our heart or not. And if it is there, how to take it out altogether?
Srila Rupa Goswami explains that real detachment is to use everything for Krishna's service. Detachment from your family and your flat doesn't mean to be irresponsible or to leave it. It means to recognize that it is Krishna's and to use it according to the will of Krishna. That is real detachment. Superficial detachment is to simply leave something. Real detachment is to use it for Krishna. But such detachment where we really and truly perceive everything as the property of Krishna can only come by the grace of Krishna. It is not something that comes by our own endeavor. If we are humble and sincere to follow the desire of Krishna, coming through the gurus and the sadhus, then by his grace, we become detached. Ragadveshivamuktaistu vishayanindriyaischaran atmavishayavidheyatmaprasadamarigashtati. Krishna says that by following the regulative principles of Krishna consciousness, one obtains the mercy of Krishna. And that mercy of Krishna is so great that we become detached from all attractions and aversions of this material world. So our position, Prabhu, is simply to try to please Krishna. And by his grace, everything else will come. We do not need to make any separate endeavor. Just try to please Krishna by following the instructions that the spiritual master and the great Vaishnavas are giving us. And gradually, by his grace, attachment to his loving service and detachment from our own anxieties will come about. But it is a very high and a very precious gift when Krishna gives such a state of consciousness. But he gives it. But he wants to make sure we are very sincere. And by putting us in such predicaments of problems and understanding how helplessly attached we are, he's giving us the opportunity, as you are today, to call out, "Krishna, save me." Right now, your question is crying out for Krishna to save you. That is the fulfillment of the problems that Krishna has given you. He's brought you to a stage that, "Krishna, I am helpless. Please save me. Please, O Vaishnav devotees of the Lord, show me how I can have brought you to the proper platform by which you can receive Krishna's mercy." Any other questions?
Once we come into spiritual life, it so happens that whatever we are doing, we have been told that you can't think of Krishna 24 hours a day, as you have said in the class. So whatever you do it, you do in the service of Krishna. You chant whatever the rules and sadhana, daily sadhana has been told to you, you do it. Afterwards, you just serve whatever the instruction has been given by a spiritual master, you serve on that basis. And on that basis, you are doing a service to Krishna. So you just have to please spiritual master and you have to serve the devotees. That is the main aim and goal of our spiritual life. But we try our level best to some level. We sincerely try to see to it that we serve the spiritual master in whatever he has given us the instruction. We chant, we associate with the devotees. Now, anything more, we can't do anything more than that, because we can't do anything more than this thing. So we have that type of a conviction in our mind that this is the maximum I can do it. I have to serve my spiritual master, I have to serve the devotees, I have to do my daily sadhana properly. This is the maximum I can do. But after doing all these things, we have that thing in our mind that at least this, all these things, lust, greed, envy, whatever is there in our heart, that means at least that will go off. But sometimes it so happens that some days it is very quite alright, and the very fine day, everything is going so scheduled, our sadhana, everything is going so nicely. And when one sudden day, the lust is coming up, or greed is coming up, or envy is coming up, and we become so surprised that what I have done, anything wrong. Everything, my sadhana is perfect, I am associating with the devotees, I am doing whatever has been told by my spiritual master, and why this thing is coming up in my heart? So how to see that this thing doesn't come up, because everything is disturbed altogether?
Before it goes out, it must come up. When you clean a room that has been collecting dust for so many years, before the dust goes out, it comes up. Correct? And when it comes up, it gets in our eyes and it gets in our nose and it disturbs us too much. So because you are performing your sadhana sincerely, all of this lust and envy and greed and pride is in the process of going out, but first it comes up. And when it comes up, it's very disturbing, because we see it. We see our heart for what it is. All of these anarthas, unwanted qualities that are just stored up in our heart for so many lifetimes, just start coming right to the surface. Prabhupada said, when you try to boil the butter to make it ghee, the impurities come to the top and it looks very dirty. But unless it comes to the top and it's visible to you, it is not to be removed. So, as we're making spiritual advancement by chanting Krishna's name, many of these unwanted qualities and desires that are dormant in our heart become to the surface. And if we just tolerate them and go on with our service, they are removed. If we give in to them, then they are put right back down, right back in our hearts. So just let them come. Just watch them. Just go on with your service. Don't watch them in the sense that to concentrate on them. Keep your mind on Krishna. Keep your mind on your devotional service. And just let them pass. Let them all come out. Don't be disturbed. At that time, when the cleansing process is taking place, that is when we really have to take shelter of Krishna's name, of Krishna's service, and of Krishna's devotees. Today is Mr. Dalal's birthday. I would like all the devotees, or tomorrow, but he's here today. I would like all the devotees to offer their blessings upon him. He's been such a wonderful help to our mission for several years. And he has such a nice service disposition. And he's brought two beautiful children into this world, Dwarkadish and Sridhama. And he's, anyone who can be instrumental in producing Dwarkadish and Sridhama must be very dear to Krishna. And good fruits come from good trees. He is a very, very gentle and very respectable person, and we are very thankful to Krishna that he has sent you to share your association with all of us, especially on this day. So wonderful. On your birthday, to come to offer your life to Radha Gopinath and to associate with their devotees. Happy birthday, Hadivo. Thank you very much.